Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I hope you are having a great day today. This is your girl, Royal Crush Keisha, and you're listening to another episode. And you're listening to another episode of the Royal Crush Takeover Radio Show. Today is March the 25th. So, how is everyone doing? I hope you guys are all having a great day today. I can hardly hear you, sir.
No. Can you
hear
me now?
How are you doing today? Yeah,
I'm doing
that
fine.
Is better. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm
enjoying this beautiful weather outside.
Yes, it does seem to be a good day.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm super excited. You know that this has been something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while now. You know, when you know, about artists that have been selling their masters. So we're going to get into a little bit of that today. Rich, you got any announcements?
Comp Bangarang and Friends presents a showcase on April the 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Slots available. You could DM me on Mr. Runtella on IG.
Yeah, okay.
And also, my youngest daughter's birthday was yesterday, so that's about it.
Definitely shout out to the young queen.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, let's get into some music. This is Famous by Ray Blinks from all the way across the pond. And just, no. No. He in a different country, but it's a nice song.
Looking late, the way you move, your love.
And that was not Famous. That was Foxy Lady by Wood. And I see our special guest co-host is in the queue, Mr. Ty Moore. Yeah, you can bring him in, Black, too.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. How are you doing?
Welcome. Well, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We are doing good. You know, I was so glad that, you know, you will be able to come in and have, you know, like this conversation with us. Because I think it's an important one, and I just think it's something that, you know, especially artists, you know, just really should educate themselves about. But I really just been thinking that it is very interesting, you know, like the number of people that have been, you know, like selling their masters right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel like it's suspicious timing, you know, because at a time where, you know, artists have been all about, you know, having ownership of your masters, and it's just been so much conversations on social media, and you know, just I mean, I told you I have a friend who is a plain old conspiracy, you know. So having conversations about how sometimes I feel like I've jumped in a deep rabbit hole. And I just can't do it, you know. But I just really think the conversation is just really interesting. And what I found that was the most interesting was the Forbes article that I sent you. Mm-hmm. And you know how it was just talking about, like, some of the top 10 reasons, you know, that artists should consider, you know, like selling their masters. And I guess, like, if you are, and especially like one of the reasons, you know, is for, you know, like bands who were in the 70s and 80s who may not have active management right now, you know, they were saying, you know, is a way of still like owning it, you know, but like leasing it for like a period of time, you know, so you can get, you know, acclimate it to a new audience, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the thing about it is it's kind of weird because I can see an artist who maybe has not had a lot of hits that, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to sell my masters because, you know, I've got a pretty small catalog and it's not really making me a lot of money. But I'm really surprised when I hear artists like Bob Dylan and Rodney Jerkins selling their masters. And The thing that's very interesting is that when you ask them doing interviews, like I've seen an interview with Rodney Durkin, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, and somebody asked him about his Masters, and he really didn't want to get into why he sold it. He didn't even want to say how much he sold it for. And to me, that kind of struck me as, okay, that, well, if it's a business deal, you don't have to say, okay, I asked for $80 million. You can say, oh, well, you know, it was a nice round figure, you know, upper 80s, I can say that, you know, give something. But a lot of people just seem to be very, withholding the conversation when it comes to that, which is makes me all, you know, wonder, okay, now why are they not disclosing at least that information?
Yeah, and even with the second article that I sent you with Forbes, even some of the people that they have doing it, the Fleetwood, well, one of the Macs, and it that I just really I just don't know. Like, I think it is interesting. I can understand, you know, like leasing it for a period of time, you know, like what that article was saying. But you got like Neil Young, who's like sold some of his stuff. Shakira just has sold some of her stuff. And it is like, what do they know that all of us don't know? And like the Forbes article, the craziest thing was the when it talked about the Bob Dylan deal. Now Bob Dylan's catalog sold for $400 million. Right, but they were saying why the time right now is so superb, you know, to be selling is because, like, the Biden tax plan. And I'm like, wait a minute now. So everyone is just going bonkers because, you know, the Biden tax plan is just about to change the world or something. No, it ain't, dude. Stop acting so dramatic. If you have, I'm just saying, look, I work my little job. I'm not making nowhere near a $400 million type of deal. But if I'm making $400 million type of deal and at a 20% tax, he pays $80 million to, like, the government, like, do you really even feel the difference in 80? Like, do you, though? Do you really feel a difference in a $400 million deal if you pay 80 in taxes? Like, what's the difference in that to me? Because I don't see a difference.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my closest friends, he does a lot of licensing deals. And we had a conversation about this subject months ago, and I remember, you know, he was saying to me, like, well, I'm definitely not selling my catalog. And because to me, you know, it reminds me of the Joe Budden situation. Like, I don't know if you know what was going on with Joe Budden and Spotify. Joe Budden had a deal with Spotify, and they literally wanted to come in and say, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars for everything, your brand and your content that you created over the years. We're going to give you X amount of dollars. And first of all, what they were offering him was nowhere what they offered Joe Rogan, who has a similar podcast like Joe Budden. And so Joe Budden turned it down, and there was a lot of people that bashed him about turning it down. But see, he was looking the long way. He was like, yeah, you know, you're going to own my content, and then you can do whatever you want with it. You can tell me I can't say this on the air now, and I can't do this now, and I can't do that. So he wound up striking a better deal. And I want to say the company struck a deal with, it might have been Pandora, but I could be wrong. But he went to some other company and got the deal that he wanted. But I know that seems to be what's happening now in regards to the music industry, that a lot of catalogs are up for sale and a lot of catalogs are selling now. You know, Bob Dylan selling his for $400 million. I get that. You know, $400 million is definitely nothing to sneeze at, but you're going to have to pay taxes on those $400 million. But the thing about it is, my thing is, what happens to your great-great-grandkids down the line.
Yep.
You know, because they're not gonna see any of that residual coming through. And I know Prince was very big on not selling your catalog because he fought so many years to get it back from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. To me, I did follow what was going on with Joe Budden, and I was one of them people like, no. Like, I'd rather have ownership of my product. You know, like,
yeah.
If we're going to do the deal, let's just do the deal, you know, playing out. Don't want to, you know, do the deal, and then you can still license and do whatever you want with what I'm saying. Because at the end of the day, it that's right. Eventually, they may have come a time where this company, you know, that now owns him in a way, because they hold ownership of his podcast, you know, they mm-hmm. may have gotten into some other issue with somebody else. And now he can't freely speak on it because he don't want the retribution because of that. See, like no. And I understood that. Like, you have to, you know, look, yes, we all know, like, you all need money to live. But my integrity is something that I'm just not going to compromise.
Right, yeah.
And for some people, their integrity, morals, their bodies might be associated, you know, with a dollar fine, but mine just isn't. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I,
and yeah, to, it's crazy with it though.
You know, to me, there isn't getting that back, because once you lose that, and once you lose your word, and I understand, like, people, you know, get it misconstrued sometimes because these are business deals, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I like to keep business and friendship very separated, because yeah, like we're tell people, like, we're business friends. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you keep your business friends at a distance. Business friends
mm-hmm.
are over my house having, you know, like dinner. Like, you might have dinner with them, but they might not be involved in your daily with my kids and with my man. Like, that's something separate. You know, people
right.
don't understand boundaries these days. And, like, once you compromise yourself in any way, people will be looking like, oh, okay, like, she'll compromise herself again. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you've done it once.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. You're fine. I was just commenting.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, being in the business for 30-plus years, it was a phantom. And I guess, you know, things have really changed. Because it was unfathomable to even, unimaginable is a better word to say, unimaginable to even think about selling your masters
yeah.
and your catalog. And, you know, it's just, I know, for, like I say, in a Bob Dylan situation, I know $400 million is a lot of money. But then I think about... I remember watching Sir Mix-a-Lot doing an interview a couple of years ago, and he said that when Baby Got Back came out and became a big hit, he knew that he owed the label a certain amount of money. And he said he knew that unless he really worked hard to pay that debt off, he would be, you know, debted to the record label for a long, long time. So that's why he never turned down a show. That's why he always did appearances, because he wanted to make that song so big that the sales, the record sales, would outpace what he owed the label. And once he paid the label off, now all that money comes to him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think like that way no more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, $400 million, especially for Bob. I think if Bob Dylan, I would have some type of stipulation, like, I'll give you 10% of my cash if you're not going to get
100%. I call it here.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you 10%. You know, because there's companies that I just see an interesting party last year where it seemed to be the Dixon and Nelly and and a bunch of artists were at this industry party last year in Atlanta. And there's a company called Sound Royalties that will give you an advance against your catalog. And I don't know all the details on how they do it, but it seemed like, and I can be wrong, so it seemed like, let's say, for example, I'm an artist and I've got a catalog worth $3 million, per se. Well, I guess they give me that $3 million against my catalog, and then they make the money off of that $3 million. They gave me an advance of $3 million, and now they're getting the money for the catalog. And when that $3 million is paid off, I don't know if the catalog comes back to me or if I've held the catalog the whole time, but that seems to be something that's happened in the last year with the catalog. Your company, you're going to get an advance on your catalog, but I don't know, per se, if that company now owns the catalog or if you still retain the right to the catalog. And if you can't pay the $3 million back, I mean, if the catalog can't pay the $3 million, do they now own it? So there's a lot of stuff going on in the music industry with catalogs and stuff like that. But I'm a big fan of residual income, not only for myself, but for my great-great-great-grandkids. And I don't believe in, for me personally, selling 100% of the catalog. I got to keep something.
Yeah, and that, I read because they, you know, like in the article, they had like a lot of these little groups, you know, that investment groups, you know, now that are trying to do that, buying all this catalog. But that would be so dangerous to me because, like you say, if you don't sell, you know, the 100%, if they don't make that $3 million, like now, do they own it? And that to me would be dangerous. And then you are right. I would never want to not leave something for my children. Like, yes, the $400 million was nice. But eventually, if you aren't managing that well or you're spending it ridiculously, now look, you got to be really ridiculous and you're spending to go through $400 million, you know, my husband tell you I'm very cheap. So you got to be doing a lot to go through that. But I just, that to me,
you know,
I would want to leave them something. That to me, I just would rather leave something for the generations. I want my great 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 something to be eating off of that. I would want to leave that. That's the legacy that I would want to leave for them.
They might not end up leaving too, besides them.
Well, that could be true, and I mean, you have that, people don't have heirs, and they leave money to charities and things like that. I always feel for people, you know, who don't have any heirs, and then the government end up getting their money in some estate deal or something, because there's just no one to leave it to, you know. But I don't know. I would find somebody somewhere, you know. I mean, I don't know. Look at Elvis Presley, you know, like his people, he still has that, you know, because I know it's like an agency that deals with deceased, you know, celebrities, and they manage their portfolios and things like that. I just think it's different ways of, you know, like doing things. I saw that the deceased actor James Dean, like, he's about to be in another movie, and he's been dead like how many 50
yeah,
40 60 some, years almost 50
something years, like, at least,
and
years,
you know, he's about to be in a movie. I think it's interesting, but I just don't know, you know, some of it is just very suspicious timing, and I just think it's really ridiculous that, you know, all of these people feel like with Joe Biden's tax plan, they're just going to be in some economic hardship, and like they about to be in food lines or something, and they got to get some. I just don't know. That to me is just so crazy that they even like had that in this article that the tax plan is could be reason for people to be selling. Like, come on, people. Like, it is
yeah,
not.
Yeah, see, but I know that they were selling their stuff last year when Trump was president. And you know what's crazy about
right.
it is that like I have a friend of mine that is doing a hip hop museum, and he called me up one day and he's like, "Yo, you know, what do you have that you can you know get you know that we can get for the museum and stuff?" And I remember, you know, I have an MC Light a tour jacket. And I remember he's like, "Yo, let's get that MC Light tour jacket." And I was like, "Nah, you're not getting the MC Light tour jacket."
Right.
Like, I'm like, nah. Because that's got way too sentimental value for me. Like,
Right.
And I say that to say that when you write a song, you know, that's your baby. That's you have so much sentimental connections to it. That to me, this is there. So it's kind of crazy what's going on. The industry, you know, like I said, when I first got involved in the industry, it's 100%, really 200% different than today from when I was in it. Somebody asked me the other day about, well, what's the difference? And I said, well, when I was in the industry, we were just having fun. You know, when I first started in 88, we was just like, well, really 86, it was like, we were just glad to be there, like, wow, you know, they're flying us out in limousines and, you know, first class, and, you know, we're doing five-star hotels, and they're paying us, and I'm a kid from Brooklyn, so, I mean, we loved, you know, what we were doing. Now it's really so much of a business that I think it's clouded a lot of stuff.
And a lot of people say that, especially when, you know, they talk about how, you know, like hip-hop now is so, you know, not authentic and, you know, like all of that discussion. But we're going to get into another track, and then I know we have a caller we're going to see. Well, let's do the caller first, and then we'll do a track.
Hey, family, it's Ann Jules in the World Crush Takeover House on Blackout Radio. What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, Jules,
what's going on?
Doing?
That's my buddy right there.
Yes.
What's up, Terry?
What's happening? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying your interview, and you know how I do. I love you guys. I'm just so grateful to hear this happening today. This is so awesome. Much love to you all.
That's what's
up. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for letting me call in and talk to you, Terry, and promote and just show my support for Blackout Radio. As you all already know, all of y'all, I've been calling in since 2015, and it delights me just to hear good people, you know, talking about the reality of life and music. And you guys are, I mean, Terry especially has got so much knowledge and wisdom. And I just knew that he would be perfect for the show because he's got so much, you know, to share. And it's just so great to hear you, Terry, you know, talking about what's really going on. And that question you were asking about the masters and stuff, I mean, for me personally, and I, you know, I'm the publisher, I get the royalties and stuff. It's not a lot, but, you know, you're definitely bringing up a lot of good questions. And I would have to say for me and for Jay, and, you know, Rob is a part of our group too, and he gets the royalties as the music publisher for Deja Vu For You that we featured him in before he died. But, yeah, I guess it would all depend on the label and the circumstance and the situation and what in the contract. But it's always good for musicians to own their own publishing, you know. And I've advised other musicians and parents of children who are, you know, putting their kids out there, to own their own rights and own their own publishing, and yeah, so that they have that backing, and then they can be bought out, you know, or whatever the contract would stipulate. But I don't know. Personally, I think it's good to own your own masters as an independent artist.
Yes, it is, sis. So what do you have going on lately?
Oh, just working on life, you guys. working on some new music and getting our TV track together for Deja Vu For You featuring Rob the Noise Temple. So if you guys are listening, I know you all know about that, but all the callers and listeners, check it out. Hit Ageless Angels Music on any kind of search engine. It'll, you know, the different links will pop up, whatever you got, Spotify or iTunes or whatever platform you have. But, yeah, we've just been working on life, you know. Finally got my storage unit, as all my fans know, all the people that, you know, that support me. I love you all, and I thank you all. I'm just working on my businesses. I got a couple businesses that I'm running with Jay, and just creating and staying happy and staying out of trouble, staying focused and healthy, too, which I hope all y'all are doing, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Appreciate you for calling, sis.
Most definitely. Terry, can I ask you a question? I ask this of all the guests. Could you, and I know you have a lot of inspiring moments on your pathway. I love your stories. I can't comment, and I've been banned on Facebook for 30 days, so that's why I've been really quiet. I've been calling out a lot of people, and you know, they've been censoring me, but that's okay. It just shows my powers.
There you go.
And when people are silenced like that, then it just shows me that everything I speak is the truth, and it brings me great joy. I just go to the radio show and speak my truth. But I wanted to ask you, is there a moment you could share with us on your pathway that would inspire people? I know you've got so many great stories to share. It might the moment that, I mean, I've always wanted to meet MC Light or Queen Latifah, you know. Like, I asked you, you're like, what's one thing, Jules, that I can do for you? I'm like, yeah, introduce me. You know, that's like the one thing. Like, I'm not too greedy, you know.
not at all.
Is there anything you can talk about that would inspire all the callers and listeners out there?
I think probably, you know what comes to mind, and I don't know why, and I share this story often, but one of the stories that I think about often, and it's sort of like, what's the best way to put it? You never know the direction of your path. And sometimes you have to look at a negative as a positive. So years ago, I was doing some freelance writing for a magazine, and there was a young artist that was had a hit album at the time. And this is probably maybe 95, 96, I'm going to say. And I got in touch with the label, the record label, because I had a friend that worked at the label. I had a couple of friends that actually worked at the label. And I asked the young lady at the label, I said, hey, I want to interview one of your artists. And she said, oh, well, she's going to be in Atlanta such and such day. Give her a call, and, you know, I'll set it up. And when you call, her mom is going to answer the phone. So she gave me the hotel information and told me the time to call. And I had written out, like, a bunch of questions that I was going to ask this artist. And I remember calling, and sure enough, the mom did pick up the phone. And I said, hey, can I speak to so-and-so? And the mom said, hold on 1 second. And the young lady got on the phone, and we had such a great conversation. She was probably one of the most down-to-earth people that I've ever met in the industry. And we literally talked for like about an hour. And I actually looked down at the end of the conversation, toward the end of the conversation, and I completely forgot, like, the question that I was supposed to be asking. I forgot taking notes. I stopped taking notes. And You know, we were laughing and joking and talking about, like old friends. And then she said to me, hey, I'm performing in Atlanta. Why don't you come hang out with me tonight? And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be cool. So she told me, you know, where she was performing at and told her I would meet her such and such time. And later on that night, because it was like, let's say, 5 o'clock, and she wasn't performing until, let's say, 8 or 9. Around 6 or 7, I was like, you know what? It's been a long day. I am going to go home, and I will just see her another time. And for many, many years, I felt so bad because I never got a chance to see her again because it turned out to be Aaliyah. And for a long time,
I was like, man,
I should have went and hung out with her. Man, I should have just spent some time with her. And there was a time that I could not even listen to her songs on the radio. That's how cool she was. That's how great the conversation was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't. But I started to look at it in a different way. As opposed to being regretful that I didn't spend that time with her, I said, I'm going to look at it as a positive because maybe we could have hung out that night and it could have ended up so well. She said, you know what? Because at the time I was working for a gospel record label. She could have said, you know what? I need you on my team. You know, because you got a background
right.
in the industry and I need you to come hang out with me and be you. You could be my assistant, my publicist or whatever. And I could have been one of the people on the airplane with her.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I had to
truth.
Flip the negative to the positive and say there's a reason why I didn't go hang out with her that night.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do remember that story, and it's very, very, very touching. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. See
yeah,
what I mean?
Was, yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's
Thank
why
you.
I love you so much, Terry. Thank you so much for being you and for sharing everything you got
Thank you.
To
I
share with the world.
That.
And
thank you for being you, too. Thank you.
Thanks for everything you do for humanity, all y'all. But I don't want to take up too much time. You guys take care. Be safe. All the callers and listeners out there, just Google Ageless Angels Music. Deja Vu For You will pop up most likely. And that's our latest track. We've got a couple more. We're going to be releasing more soon. So you guys take care and stay healthy. And thank you so much. I appreciate you letting me call in and talk to Terry. Thank you, Black Tear. And
yes,
show anytime, my support.
You know, we greatly appreciate you as well, and you be safe out there, and you have a great day.
Most definitely. All right, you too. Peace, family. Salute.
Peace.
And Jules, stand for you for life.
All righty. Well, let's get to this is Flooring by Heavy.
Give me love, my love, go back. All I'm asking is your energy. I swear to the star, I'll be real like a dream, half a true. Give me this love. Give me this love, my love, go back. Riding in a foreign and I'm flooring, got no key to start. All my niggas be on go, yeah, they on their mark. I'm thanking God cause I remember when them times was hard. Came for nothing, played my part, now I'm balling hard. I got a shooter, hit you up close, hit you from afar. When we come in deep, we look like a collage. I got your girl, she want the D, she tryna slot the gnaw. Bad bitch, look like JT and she be doing fraud. I'm going deep, I got a scream, bitch, she reaching for God. She brought a friend and now we turned it into a menage. I get them out, when you leave, make sure you hit them locks. Go back and forth with a nigga cause I keep a block. Pull up where you at right there and I'ma let it spark. Big dog with a bite, all you do is bark. Hit the gas, switching names, you niggas still in par. All you do is run your mouth, I walk what I talk. Flexing on the Instagram, yeah, he acting hard. Catch him in public with no squad, now he turning broad. Say my name, you feel the pain, I hit you in your jaw. Hit a lick and came up while you took a loss. Come to me when you need work, nigga, cause I'm the boss. I can go get it right now, don't care how much it costs. Rubbing two pennies together while I'm well lost. Double barrel, got a kick, and it's all off. Riding in a foreign and I'm flooring, got no key to start. All my niggas be on go, yeah, they on their mark. I'm thanking God, cause I remember when them times was hard. Came for nothing, played my part, now I'm balling hard. I got a shooter, hit you up close, hit you from afar. When we come in deep, we look like a collage. I got your girl, she want the D, she trying to slot the nah. Bad bitch look like JT and she be doing fraud. Pull up on me, swear to God, you'll come up missing. Too many niggas claiming real, he must be going fishing. White chick, Kim Possible, she on a mission. Only want her for the neck, can call me a lynchman. Won't argue with no man, I don't believe in fiction. Unless it's with your girl and I'm back on my picture. Chip RD with the whipping, yeah, I'm in the kitchen. Making all this pollo and I ain't frying chicken. Play with me and mine, that's the way to die fast. Sticking with you and left with me, now that's a bypass. I'm on a jet above the clouds, yeah, I got high class. I put him in the hefty bag, took him out with the trash. Something like the Grim Reaper, how I snatch a soul. Head off her shoulders, made her hands touch her knees and toes. Hit her with a golf club, put it in the hole. Shot it right between her eyes, that's a field goal. Riding in a foreign and I'm flooring, got no key to start. All my niggas be on go, yeah, they on their mark. I'm thanking God, cause I remember when them times was hard. Came for nothing, played my part, now I'm balling hard. I got a shooter, hit you up close, hit you from afar. When we come in deep, we look like a collage. I got your girl, she want the D, she trying to slot the nah. Bad bitch look like JT and she be doing fraud. Miami.
Alrighty, and we are back. I like that joint. I was over here dancing it out. got me a little tired. But that was Foreign by Heavy. I definitely like that joint. I would say, and you know what else that I kind of learned that I really didn't, well, it wasn't that I didn't know it. I just really wasn't thinking about it. That you can sell part of your publishing, like the difference in selling the publishing rights and the recorded music rights.
Yeah, so hello. I'm sorry, I didn't know if that was a question or just putting it out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that it would be a, well, I just wasn't thinking about it, that it would be a difference in selling the publishing rights to something. You know, well, I guess that would be like Rodney Jerkins. You know, because he didn't sing on the Dark Child, you know, like that's him with all them Dark Child, you know, tracks and all of that. So he really wasn't singing, but he was producing it.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it with publishing is that, you know, the catalog, and it has so much, so much value to it that, you know, it's weird because, like I said, I know so many people in the industry that hold tight. They hold on tight to that publishing. And but they're making a lot of money licensing it out. And, you know, I always think about a good friend of mine, Milk from Audio 2. He made the song Top Billing when he was 16 years old. And that one song has been sampled over 300 times. And when you're a young artist, and you getting sampled that many times and getting, you know, all these licensing agreements, that's, you know, you're eating well on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to me, again, you know, going back to record labels knew how valuable publishing was because they were willing to buy your car in order for you to sign over your publishing, you know.
Yeah,
until we started to realize, okay, wait a minute, yeah, I'm getting a car, but you're getting my publishing, you know. And You know, back in the days when you sat down a kid from Brooklyn or Compton and offered him $250,000 for your publishing, he's thinking at that moment, he's not thinking 20 years from now, 30 years from now, that Coca-Cola might use a song or Ford might use
right.
a song or Netflix might use a song. He's thinking about that $250,000 that they're putting in front of him. And so, again, the longevity of just, you know, I'm just all about residual. And I'm just
yeah.
like a residual. When it comes to residual, I'm just, to me, it just, it's a no-brainer, but a lot of people are not thinking that way nowadays.
Yeah, and you're definitely right about that, because I remember that in the movie Cadillac Records with, like,
yeah.
Etta James, and
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember the guy when the character that was played by Christopher Short, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, when his character died, Walter, you know, like, they didn't have money to bury him, and the other guy, you know, like, he put up money to help bury him, you know, and I
right.
cannot remember his line, but his line went to the fact that, you know, like, yeah, like, that white man, he did, he bought them a car. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, Walter was out there messing that car up. He just did not see, he didn't see the value in that car. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, and the other guy, he saw it. And it, you're so true. Like, I think about it, like, I want to play the long game. Like,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
that's basically what it is. You know, you got
right.
people
the
out here
game.
Thinking they – yeah, they thinking in terms of checkers and the record
right.
labels and publishing and publishing, like, they're thinking about chess. And it is.
Right.
You got video games, movies, you know, and even, you know, when you think about what's going on with like college athletes and how, you know,
mm-hmm.
they wanna be able, you know, to own their own image and get paid off of it. You know, because the
right.
Whatever it is, the Big Ten, NAACP, but like whatever, you know,
right.
they're making money off their images and they're not seeing any of that.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so it,
yeah.
I think it
yeah.
it all is, you know, like, important, and it's, and especially for them, because a lot of the majority of them don't go into the NFL. I mean,
right.
into the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, they just
or any
don't.
Sports,
you know,
really?
You got. They don't, you know, and right now, you know, what, this is March Madness, so what, we at the Sweet 16 and all of that is popping, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the background of it, you have these kids who, you know, have a very small shelf life, and
yeah.
They're really just completely being taken advantage of,
yeah.
you know, and I just think that, you know, like, I just really think that is important. But we have another caller. Let's see who this is and let them promote for a bit.
What's up, y'all? This is Tupac Tina Jackson. How y'all doing today?
What's going on, Tupac?
You're doing fine with yourself.
I'm good. I'm good. Y'all can find me at TUPXTINA Jackson on Spotify. Tupac Tina Jackson on SoundCloud, YouTube, and Tina Tupac Jackson on Facebook.
Yeah, okay, sis. Well, how are you feeling about our conversation today about artists selling their masters?
I feel like everybody should do their own thing. Like, everybody different, so, you know, I can't really... I don't know. I don't really have an opinion, really.
All right, so since you are an artist, if someone came to you a couple years down the line, would you sell yours, or you keeping on, you holding on to it?
Yeah, I'm holding on to it.
All right.
Hey, ladies, what's going on? Good to hear you, too.
Nice to hear you, too.
So you definitely understand that you know.
Well,
thanks for calling in, sis, and you be safe out there.
All right. You too.
Yeah, I do. I think like the whole thing is just very, it's just very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, the industry as a whole has really changed a lot too. It really has.
Yes, it has. Oh, that brings me to this. I saw something on YouTube, just the person who had their channel. Well, I'll shout her out. Definitely shout out to Lovely T. And she had, you know, it's so much going on with AI right now. And I'm going to make it a topic next book. But while I got you on the line, have you seen, you may have not even seen it. Have you seen, like, the new AI artist? It's like FM at Mika.
No, I haven't seen it. Tell me about it.
All right. Well, he's an artist. He's on SoundCloud, TikTok, and the song that, you know, like the songs that he have out there, you know, like people say, like, it's a bop to me. Like, when you look at him, he looks like a cross of, like, XXX and Tashion, and, like, you know, like someone of that, like, genre, like that's what, you know, like he seems to be like into. And what I think is it's interesting to me. Like, look, I love technology, but I just think, you know, like that's a bit too much for me, because he even has, you know, what was the crazy part is, you know, like if you're on TikTok and you follow a lot of the influencers, you know, he's kind of starting a beef with, like, a real person, like a real person that's an influencer, you know, mm-hmm. that has a lot of followers, and he's like, no, don't follow him. You know, he wants humans to follow him so he can beat the person influencer. That to me was crazy.
So what he's doing is, it sounds like he is taking almost, I don't want to say a page from 50, but it sounds like it's an old school hip hop. I'm gonna diss you. I'm gonna battle you on record.
Yeah.
In order for people to start buying my stuff, so you know, and it seems that that's the playbook that he's using in regards to. Let me, because I remember there was a song that 50 had out. I'm trying to see if I can find it. But there was a song that he had out before he had his major song, that was like, it was sort of like he was dissing other artists. And I'm trying to think of the name of the, you know what I'm talking about?
He's
naming all the different artists. But that was that's what kept catapulting him out there for people to take notice.
Yes, it was like How to Rob. And like I get, you know, like human on human beef, okay. But like robot human beef, I think that's crazy to me. And then, you know, it's the whole thing. Now, look, I don't think technology is wonderful, but you also have to think about, like, look at how people are using these type of, like, deep fakes. I think there's, like, two crazy stories, you know, like, in the news with people actually using deep fakes to, like, make fake stuff about people, you know, one with, like, the homecoming queen or something, and like that's crazy to me, you know, that you're doing that just, you know, to throw dirt on people so you can win a crown, you know. So if someone can do it and be vindictive in that way, you know, like what if this robot, you know, I mean, basically this AI wants you to do other stuff, you know, like that's where I'm thinking about it, you know, like I told you, like I have a very sinister mind, you know, so like that's where I'm at, you know, like I'm nice, but I can be dark if I want, if I want to be, you know, but that to me was just, It was just interesting, and it's just really crazy, you know, that right now where, you know, like, you don't have to be a human rapper. You know, he even, in, like, his one of his music videos, his shirt off, and he has, like, he's, like, he got, like, an 8-pack. And to me was just, like, so now we've kind of, like, sexualized him, you know, like, what, he want to have, like, a sex doll next or something. Like, that's how crazy we have gotten now. Like, you ain't
right.
Really got to, you know, like, look, it's only one, you know, I mean, look, like, who, okay, I don't know why his name popped into my head, but, like, it's only one Quavo, right? So you can
right.
only have, only so many of us, and I'm not trying, but only so many of us to be able to get the Quavo to have sex with him, right?
Okay.
But if you got, yes.
Hello? Yeah, can we get a call on real quick?
All right, hold on a second. If we got this, you know, this sex doll of FM Mika, you know, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, that's where I go. But, yes, we have a caller. Let's get them on for a minute. Because the show is almost over.
Hey, Keisha.
Hello,
what's going on?
Yeah, hello, say your name. Where you from?
This is Big Sean, SX Energy Drinks, NYC. How y'all doing today?
All right, yourself, what's going
on? Yeah, we are doing good, and yourself, Sean?
Pretty good. I know time is about to run out. I'm just going to wrap real quick. You was talking about if you're an artist, you own your masters. Yeah, no doubt. And you got to do your education in the music industry of what you own, because if you put in that work on a studio 12, 15 hours, making out hits for the label and stuff, yeah, you should be entitled to it, especially if you're cranking out hits consistently and platinum albums and stuff. Again, Keisha, back in history, everybody look up what happened with Prince. Remember he had his issues with Warner Brothers over
mm-hmm.
the rights? Do your
yeah.
research, young folks. You saw what happened with Prince. And I remember he did an interview with Travis Smiley on BET talking about the ins and outs of the music industry, and it was deep. Look up that on YouTube, and I watched it. And before Prince passed away, he talked about the stuff he had to go through to own his publishing. So, you know, these young folks got to understand something. And the New Edition movie broke it down to what they went through when they signed that crazy contract with Restar. You got to know the ins and outs of the music industry, because if you don't, you get robbed easily. You know what I'm saying? And that's just my point of view.
Yeah, yes, you definitely have to pay attention, you know, even with, you know, like, I think, you know, like Tupac Shakur said, people are going to do whatever they want to do, you know, but if you are going to enter into some type of deal like this, you got to make sure you have a good lawyer, and every I is dotted and every T is crossed, because if it's a way for someone to, you know, work you over for it, they'll definitely find a way.
Look at Ice Cube. Look at that movie NWA, what he went through. Look what happened with NWA.
Yeah.
Ice Cube was the only one that knew that they was taking crappy-ass contracts, warned the staff, and remember, he was the first to left them to do his thing, and look what happened after that. That movie was a perfect example of what they went through, and Ice Cube was one of the few that knew that they was getting jerked. You saw what happened after that.
Yeah, it's a lot of craziness going on, and you're right. It's a perfect example of what can happen if you don't know and understand, you know, like, just how you can get screwed out of the industry. Because at the end of the day, it's about business. You know, labels
yeah.
are in it to make money, and if
yeah.
they can find a way to make money off of you, they will.
And take
yeah.
advantage of it. Yeah, Jay-Z, same thing. Remember, he had the issue with the crew for the Rockefeller. Got his own master mm-hmm. from Reasonable Doubt. Look what happened with Jay-Z,
right.
what he had to deal
yeah.
with. And look at him now. He knew what he was doing.
Exactly. Well, you mm-hmm. definitely be safe out there, Sean. We greatly
oh,
appreciate
yeah.
you for calling in, and you be safe
oh,
out
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
all
before
right.
I get off, I just want everybody to catch me on YouTube, Sean, for the Essex Promotions, and shout out to my Mild of the Month, Destiny Kale. And look for me next month. I'm going to do an interview with Burrow G on DTF Radio. I believe our interview is on April 28th. I'll keep that posted on social media. I'm going to talk about a lot about my 10 years in and out with Essex Energy Drink. So look for me on that show, Burrow G on DTF Radio. Y'all be safe this weekend.
All
You do the same as well.
Let me see y'all. Bye.
Yeah. All righty. Well, definitely we got to thank you, Tari, for coming on and just helping us, you know, break this whole master's conversation down. I greatly appreciate you, and you'd like to throw your links out there and your business information so people, you know, can find you and just know and understand what you do.
All right, Sam, good. I appreciate that. Want to definitely give a shout out to Mika, and I want to let people know that they can reach out to me on Facebook, Terry.Mora. They can also Google me on social media, as well as Google me on Terry Moore, and I'll pop up on the website. They can also go to terrymoore.com. And, again, want to give a shout-out to Mika. Baby, I'll speak to you later. And also my son Jordan, I'll give him a shout-out as well. And I thank you for having me on.
I appreciate you calling.
Yes, we appreciate you for coming on and breaking this down for us, and thanks again. And you be safe out there. And to everyone, thank you for all of the callers, all of the listeners. Definitely join us next week. It is fan appreciation, and, you know, we will have a surprise on the week after that, and the AI rapper conversation will be coming up later on in April, so definitely stay tuned for that. But you can find me at Royal Crush Keisha on Facebook or ENT Crush on Twitter, Royal Crush Takeover Radio on IG, or you can find my co-host, Mr. Rontel, that on IG as well. Let's be kind to one another. You guys have a great week, and please, please, please stay safe. I know we ain't going to get much of it on today, but to get us out of here, Black Tear, let's play Can I Take You Home With Me by Ghetto Cowboy.
Turn it up, bro.
Turn it up.
Hey, sucker. Man, you see that girl over there? Man, see, every time I come in here, she's smiling and looking at me.